This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
We are Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Wednesday, Educators Amplified. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie are both in the house. Welcome back, both of you together. So excited to see you guys. However, I want to jump right in, though, to some housekeeping right away. Johnny, really important. Directly after Busted Pencils tonight, President Biden will deliver an Oval Office address to the nation tonight at 7 p.m. Central. Stay tuned on Civic Media, because they are bringing you, well, that's us too, the speech live immediately following Busted Pencils. So immediately
Stay tuned. Hey, you know, you already are listening, so just extra listen tonight.
We're like the opener to the Oval Office address. That's
thank right. you, Teacher Joanne. I was just going to say, I was like, it was so nice to hear from the Biden team asking them if they could follow us tonight. And I was like, you know what? Let's go for it, you guys. I think following Busted Pencils makes perfect sense. So, yeah, Biden. Hey, the other thing is, if you're not, you know, listening on the radio, you're going, what am I going to do? You got the Civic Media app, Johnny, Teacher Hallie, absolutely. Teacher Joanna. They do not have to be without Busted Pencils. And I guess if you want to listen to the President Biden afterwards, so you can do that on the app. The other thing, too, is it's like, check this out. If you're listening in the car, keep doing that. We love it. We appreciate it. You can be also watching us right now on the Busted Pencils YouTube. You could be on the Facebook of Busted Pencils. You're on the Twitter of X. Or wait, Twitter and X are the same darn thing.
Yeah.
You're going to the Civic Media. You can check us out. You can see, you know, if you want to see us, but I think we're worth looking at.
Well, you can't see us right now, Tim. There's a little bit of a hiccup. We're not streaming, so listeners, you're extra special. You're getting this. And, of course, later on it'll catch up and folks will get to watch. But if you'd like to see our beautiful faces, see wonderful smiles, well, the wonderful smiles are for sure here every Wednesday. We have Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie. But otherwise, you know, tune in and check us out however you can. Tim, you know what else every listener can do?
I know.
Oh, man. I can crack a beer over at the Minocqua Brewing Company. Minocqua Brewing Company sponsors Busted Pencils. And those folks at the MBC are big-time advocates for public education. Whew, and for public schools in Wisconsin. And they're right there with us, Tim, connecting strong public education to strong democracy. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. I like that plan. One beer at a time. Let's go. Right. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And boy, is there a progressive buzz going around. There's quite the vibe right happening right now, at least in progressive politics. I couldn't have predicted how refreshing it would be. And we've been talking about, wow, even the things that I'm kind of like, well, let's see how this plays out. And a little bit of, you know, my skepticism creeps in because it's just a bad habit I have. But I will say, overall, the energy that I'm feeling from not only young people, but my peers, my colleagues, our callers, listener, you out there. I mean, I got to say, I like this wave we're riding. I do. I like it.
I enjoy it. So excited
to check in with Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie tonight. And Tim, continue to chop it up with you, my guy.
I appreciate it, too. And Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, in fact, how are both of you two doing?
I'm doing well. I am doing really well. And like you guys, I am excited. It feels good to be hopeful.
Yes. Teacher Hallie, no hope for you?
No, I feel hopeful as well. I will just, you know, how do I say this? Like, I never believe that one person is going to do it all. So I feel hopeful, but I also know that the hope needs to go with action as well. Meaning like our listeners, ourselves, other people, like we've got to let people know, like, how to vote, where to vote, when to vote, you know, like, so yes, this is hopeful. I have an idea, a very good idea of who I'm voting for, but I need lots and lots of other people to as well. And so that's just where my head goes to of like, all right, it's action time. So that my hope can stay elevated as I talk with people.
Well, you know, and caller Joanne last night kind of pointed this out in a little bit of a different way, Teacher Hallie, saying it's, you know, when we're the excitement about right now candidate, potentially Kamala Harris, is that actually too is imagining it isn't one person when we vote for her. She's bringing in an entire cabinet of all these people. She's got a vice president. So when you're talking about, right, it's like we're, even though we're voting for Kamala Harris, if that's what your choice is for voting, you're voting for an administration, a team, and who those team members are. And we were a little bit before the show, Teacher Joanna and I were saying, you know, if you read Peter Green's blog, Curmudgeon, you know, one of these vice presidential candidates, and I don't want to go too far away on this direction yet, but, you know, there's some concern and there should be. And this is the actually the exciting part about this is that we can have really powerful discussions about how these things might go. But, you know, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, one of the things Johnny remind us, though, is that we really, 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 and L.A. Tom, I know he's on the line. We're going to get right on to him, though, since he decided to give us a call again, is that we have to contrast and make sure that we recognize and point out that the other party that's running in this, we were saying the, you know, the old compare contrast in fifth grade, tell us what's alike, tell us what's different. Well, you know what, when it comes to this one, there's not a lot of like, there's a lot of contrast. And in fact, we're going to be pointing out that contrast big time. However, LA Tom, let's go right to you, my friend. How are you?
Real good, guys. First off, I do want to say that I'd like for everyone to check out selectacandidatequiz.com. Selectacandidatequiz.com. Know that we have a binary choice here, but that will actually have you voting for policies rather for than person. That's number one. Number two, I just want to say and get on board ahead of time that I think Kamala Harris, as my state senator at one time, is dynamic, is energetic, and is intelligent. You bet she's the DEI candidate. So she's dynamic, she's energetic, and she is intelligent. And I'm just really looking forward to Joe Biden's speech tonight at 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock, I guess, for you guys. And I'm pumped. I'm pumped because of the fact that, you know, there's people out there now that are going to be walking the streets like we have all done, or I've done in the past anyway, for Barack Obama in Nevada and places like that in Wisconsin. And I won't hear now, oh, he's too old. I won't hear that anymore.
Absolutely. Teacher Joanna, you got a big smile on your face.
Well, of course, I always love to hear from LA Tom. And yeah, this is part of it. I like hearing people's energy. I think I tend to kind of like sit back and absorb. And so I am really, you know, taking in other people's energy. And yet, I am like pretty strong about where people stand with public education. And so I think that is hard for why it's hard for me to get excited, because I've always said, like, we have no friends. Again, like we have no friends. And so, you know, again, I get the collective, the good, the excitement, I'm with it. And yet that is what always, like, I've busted my butt for people. You know, I do, you know, I've worked as an organizer. I've done doors. I do calls. I have the house parties. I talk to people. And dang, I have really been disappointed in public education backers. Like,
yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm with it, but I do always feel like we're like isolated on this little island.
Teacher Hallie.
For sure. Well, I was just going to say, like, obviously, you know, I care loads and loads about lots of things, but my biggest priority is always public education, because really it's a whole demographic of people, children, who really don't have many rights or say in anything, and how that's where I'll get kind of like, yeah, I'm excited. But I'm also like, we're going to be hearing about women's health. We're going to be hearing about climate. We're going to be hearing about those type of things, which again are important, but I'm like, public education is burning to the ground.
We want to be a priority. Right.
You guys, you know, and I get people talk about Project 2025. And I mean, there's devastating things in there, but I also like, in a lot of towns, this is already happening, you know, like our public schools. And so that's just where I'm always coming from. Of course, I'm going to get on board with the big stuff, but I'm like, I wish public education was the big stuff too.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. And I know Johnny Lupinacci can say, but every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Busted Pencils, we are finally bringing this conversation about public education to the mainstream so that all of our neighbors can start to recognize that this isn't this little fringe kind of weird group of people. We might be that though too. We're talking about democracy. We're not just talking about schools and the prom and testing and stuff. We're talking about the foundation of American democracy, the community heartbeat in a lot of our communities, the public schools. So this isn't this little kind of special interest group. To me, it is a foundation and a core of what it means to be a participation, to be a participant in this experiment we call democracy. You can't do it without public education. So I know Johnny Lupinacci sitting there going, yeah, Tim, but right now there still are some people. I'm just saying, Johnny, we got to bring them on board, man.
Absolutely. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're having a great conversation with Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie from Educators Amplified. This is Busted Pencils, fully led education talk, educated educators talking education tonight with our favorite teachers, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie. Listener, give us a call, right? Or text 855-752-4842, right? Stay with us. We got lots more to talk about. Stay tuned. The truth. I won't sweat one more drop for you.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Wednesday night, Educators Amplified, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie in the house. Yeah, talking fully leaded education talk. That's what we do here. Public education, the heart of democracy. Public education, an aside, I said, you know, I don't actually try to make this a habit because it can be very bad for your mental health to get into a, you know, Twitter or an X or a Facebook argument with somebody. But the school choicers were out in force today, and I just decided to hit a reply all on the X to a bunch of school choicers that, like, yo, you guys already got choice. You have the choice to send your kids to a private school at your own expense, or you have the choice to send your kids to a public school. End of story. What's the problem? And I have now been getting smacked now on the X all night. Everybody's hitting me. You're one of those government schools people who wants to indoctrinate our kids about two men laying in the same bed and stuff like that. I actually just stole that from Teacher Hallie. We were talking about that in the back. But anyway, putting it away, I'm not going to let it ruin my night because tonight is Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, excitement. And you know what, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, what you were talking about last segment too, when we get into this, you know, we are going to do some public education dissection of truly the candidates and say, like, wait a minute, we've got some concerns. And I'm highlighting one of the concerns already, not with, you know, Kamala Harris herself, but right now some of the what do you want to say, some of the noise about who should be her vice presidential pick. And there is one person who keeps rising to the top, Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, my own home state. And I'm sorry, there are lots of red flags. If you're a public school person, and I've been watching that all over Facebook and Twitter, the social media today, there are a lot of pro-public school people putting out there. There's the Wisconsin Public Education Network. There's the Public Education Network. There's Diane Ravitch's blog. There is a whole bunch of people out there saying, hey, you know what? Kamala, we love you, but when it comes to picking a vice president, sorry, us public education people do not want you looking at Josh Shapiro. We'll talk a lot. We'll be talking about that because that is part of what we do here. So anybody listening going, oh, you guys are just cheering for the Democrats. It's like, hey, well, here's the deal. We're cheering for the Democratic ticket right now because, as Johnny points out, the contrast to the Trump ticket in public education is that, you know, public education is truly going to be in some way, shape, or form targeted with some type of destruction from that party. We know at least with the Democratic Party, we have the possibility that they don't want to start off by eliminating the Department of Education.
Can you believe they put that in writing?
Yeah, I like that sound bite.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim, I love this. And I just want to remind our listeners out there, thanks for listening. But also make sure you stay tuned tonight because we're all going to be listening even past Busted Pencils. President Biden will deliver an Oval Office address to the nation tonight at 7 p.m. Central. So stay tuned. Civic Media is bringing you the speech live immediately following Busted Pencils. We're here in the house with Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie from Educators Amplified. And I don't know if you know this, but every episode of Busted Pencils has bonus content. If you want to catch the behind-the-scenes discussion, the jokes, and our sweet faces, well, that's for sure guaranteed on Wednesdays at least. By watching the stream on Busted Pencils, you can catch it like Tim shared at the beginning of the show on Facebook, Civic Media or Busted Pencils, YouTube, Civic Media or Busted Pencils, or on the X, Civic Media. You probably already might have gone to X to see Tim getting smacked around by the school choicers. We'll come back to that, Tim, because I tell you, sometimes there's a beehive in a post over when we're on a walk, and I say, Tim, don't go kick that beehive. Tim, what do you always do?
I don't
kick the beehive. I love it about you, my guy, but you always rattled bees. You got them coming. And I looked on X, and they sure are buzzing. So good work, my guy.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Okay, so here's the deal, though. I just looked down at my calendar, and Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, holy crap, it's the end of July.
What?
What? And I was just thinking about that. Yeah, Teacher Hallie, what's that shush about? Tell me, what's that all about?
Oh, don't remind me. I'm not supposed to know what day it is or what time it is. I don't have to know.
Teacher Joanna, is this the time of year when you start going, oh man, it's summer's over. It's time to start.
Yeah, a little bit. Just, you know, I start to see the back to school commercials. That's what always kicks it off. And then I'm kind of like, oh, yeah. And then I just kind of take stock. I do literally like write down every single day that I have and what I'm aiming to accomplish, or what I have planned. And yeah, so it's midway. I mean, where I'm feeling great, you know, because I'm in the midst of it, but then I'm aware that the time is limited. And I don't know, you know, I don't live on social media at all. But I'm aware because friends share things with me that I think there are more like, informative TikToks and things out there about like what summer is really like for teachers. But I describe it as more, it's just like in teaching, you're either on or you're off. When you are working, you are on, and really you don't have time for many other things. I mean, literally, like, I think I was talking last week how like in a regular school day, I don't have time to take a phone call from my mom's assisted living facility. Mm-hmm. Right. I can't, like, And that's hard. And then in the summer, you're completely off where you are like, what day, what time? And so Hallie and I used to always talk about like some in between would be great. And I actually think it's part of why the profession is unattractive to people right now, because of this extreme, you know, restriction.
0 to 100.
Yeah. 0 to 100. Because right, the day you go back, it's like, it's, I mean, I'd love to hear if other teachers want to call in and explain differently, but just everyone I know and my experience has been like, it's either on or off. And so I'm still off, but I'm aware that I'm going to be going on pretty soon.
Well, I think it's the internal, the mental load that, you know, like you're trying not to anticipate, but like, right, you just remember, you know, or you're like anticipating the 0 to 100 mental load of it all.
I think about that. Yeah, it's a lot. And when you put that out there, like, you know, like that, you start to wonder, and maybe, I don't know if this, should we, Joanna, from the attraction part, right? The whole idea is like, well, it used to be, you know, the joke was, well, you get June, July, and August off. Those are three great reasons to be a teacher. And you're kind of pointing out and going, oh, well, you know what, though, with all of that time and then during the, quote, 9 months that I don't have any time to do anything. Is there a better way of talking about that? It's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, 855-752-4842. I'm going to kind of pose that as a question to Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna to be thinking about during the break. Would you then be amenable or entertain the idea of maybe like a 3-day work week, 2 days off, but all year round? Would that potentially give you more balance? So we're talking about Busted Pencils, Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, stay tuned for more.
Flip the finger to the King of England. Stole our country from the Indians. We got on our side and guns in our hand.
Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Educated educators talking education. Yeah. Wednesday night, Educators Amplified, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie in the house. Conversation about, oh man, it's the end of July. From the teacher's point of view, how do you start viewing the days? Now, is it the countdown to, oh my goodness, I got to go back to school real soon? Teacher Joanne, I was thinking about what you just said. It's like when you see that first back to school commercial, it's when you get that, oh my God, wait a minute. Why do we have to talk about, you know, the best clothes or trapper keepers today? We can wait anytime. I know, I remember feeling like that all of the time.
Well, and you know, actually, now that I think about it, though, too, like I'm speaking from a place of like maybe privilege that I'm not working this summer. Many of my colleagues are working. They probably didn't even think, you know, how I'm like, oh, it'll, you know, then I'll have to like set my alarm again. But many, many people are working right now.
Okay. You
know? Right.
That's
like,
go ahead, Hal.
Sorry. I was just going to say many people are working, and even many people are like being forced to work, meaning like the district is being like, curriculum needs to be adapted. So you need to do this many hours over the summer for $20 an hour. Like it's like even worse than even just like second, third jobs. It's like,
yeah,
you know, even the layers are messed up to me.
I'd rather cut grass in the summer, then, is what you're saying, as opposed to that, at least in that. But Teacher Joanna, okay, so what do we do?
Well, we have to really start taking a look. You know, like you and I have been connected over this for years. Like,
right.
We have to look at what is the real issue. Why are people not attracted to this profession? Or why do people come in and leave immediately? And how do we really hear that and change things in a way that will keep people, rather than just, you know, be like, oh, well, guess they didn't cut it. Or here, I remember when I would be talking with leaders in my district where it would be like, how can we mentor people? I'm like, what do you mean? Like mentor them to like shift to like accepting these conditions, or are we going to show that we're working to change these conditions? And so I'm talking about really looking at shifting how a teacher's day is designed. And especially here in Wisconsin after Act 10, our days went, they got longer. Like everybody added minutes, everybody added days. Positions that used to be paid for, supervisory, volunteer things, were the pay was taken away and you were forced to do them. So again, it's like your technical contract day might start at 7:30, but you might be assigned a hall duty that starts at 6:45 that you have to show up and do. And so then, so those kind, like we can look at just those specific things. And I always say that all extra duties should be voluntary and paid. But then we do have to look at it like, and I probably said this on this show before, that you could look at that as like you're saving money, or I felt like, no, I was just a very expensive hall monitor. Like I'm here for my expertise. You know what I mean? I'm here to design lessons and work with kids, but you think that, and so there's this thing happened where it was just like everything was interchangeable. Like you're on the street, you're in the hallway. Oh, and now you're teaching. Oh, and now you're being a test proctor. And now you're, and all of that. So we have to look at like, what is our work? What is the nature of our work? And how do we though build in, I'm simply asking for downtime. Like how do you build in breaths for yourself? I mean, in terms of the schedule. And how do we value downtime? And there was something that shifted that was like, you are not working if you are not with children the whole time you're there.
Teacher Hallie.
Well, I think the piece that is missing is that we need to start viewing teachers as professionals and actually looking at education as like a highly respected, like high quality profession, not just like nice ladies who are willing to do whatever everybody tells them to do. Like, that's just what I think also in what Joanna's saying, like to summarize it, like we've really just taken out understanding what teaching and learning is and made this more into like a transactional job where I need to get like someone else needs to get X, Y, and Z done. And so then they're forcing professionals essentially to do work that's inappropriate for the level of qualifications that teachers actually have.
And you know, I've been getting my study on for my PhD. I've been getting my study on. And just something I was examining yesterday was about that, like where learning actually falls in terms of what schools are really trying to accomplish. And this was from Professor, I think his name is Richard Elmore from Harvard. And he said, number one role of school right now in this system we've designed around it is custody. And then two is once you have custody, you know, like where are the kids going to be? Then you think about control. Then after that, it's kind of about managing our socioeconomic economic system. Then comes learning. So I'm talking about going down to that stuff.
Whoa, speaking of learning, I think I just heard a bell. I think I heard it in my headphones. Tim, did we hear that bell?
Because
There it is. Every day on Busted Pencils, we highlight democracy in action. And today's democracy in action, Teacher Hallie coming right out of the gate, reminding us to have hope in people. We don't have hope in one single savior. We have hope in people. And collectively, I love how Teacher Joanna brought us back to this in this segment. Collectively, we have hope in teachers understanding the labor conditions and what they need to do good teaching, right? A couple weeks ago, we had AFT President Randy Weingarten on. She reminded us of the importance of organizing and supporting solidarity in labor. And I can't help but bring back that connection that she brought up. The AFT is the second largest union for nurses, right? And teachers, nurses and teachers, two feminized career, whether you're male identifying or female identifying, it's a feminized career. And man, I can't help but get excited about women taking leadership right now. This is exciting. It's connected to that. I don't just mean Kamala, but I mean collectively women. So today's Democracy in Action, Teacher Hallie's Hope in the People, right? Connected to the core democratic value, popular sovereignty. Remember, every Democracy in Action on Busted Pencils is connected to a core democratic value. And today's is popular sovereignty. The power of the government comes from its people, not from individuals we elect. Those elections are important. We're going to talk about them. But in all of us, the people, and when we say that, especially all of us, the educators. Mm-hmm. So love it. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, thank you for being here with us tonight. Teacher Hallie, thank you for tonight's Democracy in Action. And that reminder, it's hope in the people, folks. Popular sovereignty locked in. I love it. Thanks for being here. Listener, stick around, because we want to make sure you know that President Biden is going to deliver an Oval Office address to the nation tonight at 7 p.m. Central. Stay tuned as Civic Media is bringing you the speech live immediately following your favorite show. That's right, Busted Pencils, and you're listening right now. So stay tuned and listen to the president, because we're his opening act tonight on Civic Media, aren't we, Tim?
Nice. Well, I told you, you know, they asked us if we would do the opening for the president today, and I said, sure. Well, that's what Busted Pencils is for. We will gladly open for President Biden, especially since he was such a patriot and agreed that it was time to, you know, exercise his humility and pass the torch on. And it looks like that torch is going to Kamala Harris. Back to Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, though, too, this idea of a work day and all that. I know I want to stretch a little bit here and just point back to the first segment, staying in this realm, though, too. The other stuff that you do, Teacher Joanna, as we're coming into the fall, though, with this presidential race, Teacher Hallie, are we thinking about going, oh, my, I got to teach this stuff, too, on top of the fact that all of the inappropriate, how the school day is already structured so incorrectly, as you pointed out, Joanna. And now the fact is that we've got a major presidential election happening after an assassination attempt, all of this coming together. How does this situate you for coming back to school with that on your to-do list?
Well, I will be interested to hear from the kids. You know, I like to hear where they're at. So that I am really looking forward to is learning from them and just kind of taking in how they're seeing things, how they're thinking about things. Because again, it's not like I show up and I bring it up. They show up and they bring it in.
That's what I was thinking, even during your conversation about like cutting the workday down to 4 days or whatever, the school week. That is the piece that I continue to hear when people talk about education who aren't educators. And it goes with this of like this idea that like teachers tell students everything that they need to know, where I'm like, so much of what we do is way more about students bringing things to us. So I hear it even with like this presidential election. I don't have to have like the world's best like lesson plan written up for us to talk about it. The kids will bring it up because they've got cell phones at their fingertips. It's in their world. They're curious. And so my role is more to help navigate how do we critically think about this or the things that you're seeing, what's true, what's not true, what makes sense to you. If you are 18 and you can vote, how will you go vote? You know, so it's less about me telling them who to vote for, but it's more about like, how can they critically take in all this information? And then I'll just add one more thing. That's the other reason I know that people don't really know what we're talking or like really what teaching and learning is because I'm like, even with all this stuff about us being indoctrinators, I don't go up to kids and say, hey, I have a friend who's gay and they lay in the same bed together. Like kids come up to us from 4 years old to seniors in high school with questions.
Or sharing their experience in their lives.
Right. And so it's our job as professionals. And that's what I mean. Like we're not viewed as professionals. We navigate those conversations either by nipping it in the bud. Cause sometimes it's like, this isn't the conversation that we're going to have right now. You know, like, sometimes that happens. Other times it's a teachable moment. Other times it's how can we critically think about this and connect it to the lesson? Like there's so many ways that we can flex and adapt, But none of that is talked about when we're talking about education.
Because learning is really about figuring it out for yourself.
Yes.
And we guide that. But it's guiding people to figure things out for themselves. But I think I brought up last week that election years are always interesting.
Yeah.
You know, they are. And like I said, because you kind of get to really hear where they're at and what they're hearing. And so I'm looking forward to that, and I'm prepared to navigate that. And then I do think about helping students register to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's something that kids hear about and they understand is like important, but kind of like anything, it's like applying to a job. Like I've worked with adolescents for decades and they're always nervous. They're like, I want a job, but I don't want to fill out the application. I want a job, but what do I do if they want to have an interview with me? You know, and you walk them through that. It's kind of the same thing with voting, where they're like, I want to vote, but what do I really do? I want to vote, you know? And so we've always worked with the League of Women Voters. And they do some good voter registration events. And so, again, I'm not the expert. I'm not walking in and saying, hey, kids, this is how you vote. But, right, we bring the opportunities to them, or we help navigate that with them. And so, yeah.
Nice. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education, especially on Wednesdays. Educators Amplified are in the house. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie here, talking everything. School day, how do we make the school day better? Now coming into the election question. Have you ever been asked, well, who are you voting for, Mrs. Joanna? Who are you voting for? Because, and then what do we do in those situations? We're going to answer that question. Stay tuned.
Listen up, man, I'll tell you who I am. Just another stupid American. You don't wanna listen, you don't wanna understand. So finish up or drink and go home. Listen up, man, I'll tell you who I am. Just another stupid American. You don't wanna listen, you don't wanna understand. So finish up your drink and go home. Finish up your drink and go home.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie here, and truly educated educators talking education tonight all over. But back to the question. So you're in the classroom, you're sitting there, it's the election year. It's November, and I remember my fifth graders always did that. Mr. Slecker, who are you voting for? My mom and dad, or they would do the other thing. My dad wants to know who you're voting for. I'm like, really? All right, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, how do we address that question?
Well, you're right. That does come up. That's working with kids. And you know, we work with adolescents, so they ask about everything. And so, yeah, that's always comes up, and I usually just share with them. I don't say who I'm voting for. I'll just say, here are things I think about, and you say, oh, I know my vote's important to me. And when I'm voting, I think about the things that are important to me. And my students really do know that public education is very important to me. Yeah, I don't directly answer the question. I just share my thought process. And then again, sometimes I take them down memory lane about, oh my gosh, I remember when I was your age, this was the person who was president, and this is how I went and registered, you know, so I connect it, but I really don't take time. And like Hallie said, sometimes you're just like, okay, guys, we're not getting into this right now. We're doing whatever else. But Hallie, what thoughts do you have on when you're asked, who are you voting for?
I had very similar thoughts, funny enough, where usually I'll like ask a question back, like, do you know what things that I value? So who would you think that I would vote for? You know, like, or it's still something that I'm, you know, like thinking about myself. And then, right, like, I'm way more interested in talking to them than about like registering to vote and helping them feel confident doing that. And those are the things they actually really care about, because I mean, it's a fleeting question. Who are you going to vote for? Whereas, especially our 18-year-olds or even 17-year-olds are actually thinking for themselves, like, about voting. Yep. So right. I can usually quickly, like, shift the conversation to, like, the act of voting. And then it's actually something that they're interested in. And then that's where I'm like, all right, let's talk about it.
Yep.
Like, I really like to talk about, like, how do you vote? We can practice, like, looking it up online. Yeah. What does your ballot look like? Like, stuff like that.
I'm exactly. I'm in the same boat. I loved that question because one, it's a great opportunity to talk about voting and our civic responsibility as voters. And similar met with the question of like, well, why you care about exactly who I vote, care more about the process. And I used to go into a lot of how the election process works, like how as a voter, I get to decide in a booth. I get to go into that booth, or, you know, now in the state of Washington where I live and teach, it's by mail. Everyone votes by mail. So you get mailed this thing. And we talk a little bit about pros and cons of that, because I'm a big, strong supporter of everyone having their decision. Everybody has a right to make their decision. Their voice is valued. And that's an important right. And it's an important responsibility we have. So we talk more about the process of voting. And I would say again, too, because it does mean something to children, especially older kids that are even older that are taking those issues. I always remind them, like, hey, I hope that you're following the issues that matter to you, to the future you want to see, the kind of administration you would like to see running this country, and that decision. Knowing me as a person, I would always say, I bet you probably know who I'm voting for. I don't need to tell you, because you know my politics. Because we've had so many discussions on issues. So really reiterating how important it is that they learn, but also that we're models for them. And again, like both Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie said, and then shared in their response, none of us out there are indoctrinating, but we all have politics, especially politics that represent the well-being of children. And I'm sorry, in this election and in the past few elections, the politics of advocating for all children are pretty clear. Who you'd be voting for if you're supporting children. And children know that. You know, they would ask similarly, my students share all the time, that how do you respond in an election year to who you're voting for? Well, you heard Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, and I share how we do it. We don't tell them who we're voting for. We talk about the voting process, and we do lean on, hey, if you know my politics, you probably have a good idea who I'm voting for. The other very similar question would come up a lot of, do you support Black Lives Matter? And you know, and my students always ask me that, and I would say unapologetically yes, and share with them the principles of that movement and why. But they wanted to know the translation of that. Do you really care about all of us, our families and our communities, right? And that is, I hate to say it, because we aren't in an electoral system where there are a lot of candidates who represent advocating for children. It's pretty clear, right, how we as teachers ought to be aligning our politics with our votes. So some ways students are checking to say, hey, do you care about us or not?
Yeah. Well, and so we know
it's important for us to share. Yeah.
We know that actually is a really significant aspect of teaching, that students watch how you treat other people. You know, they very much pay attention to, like, how do you care for maybe like the people who struggle the most? And that sends a signal of like, is this safe? Is this comfortable? Do I belong? Does everybody belong? And so, yeah, kids really pay attention to that kind of stuff. But right, us master educators, you turn it back to them. You're like, the subject isn't me, y'all. The subject is you and your lives. So we turn it back to that always.
And what I keep hearing, John, is it depends. Like I said, when my fifth graders ask me, you're saying when your 16 and 17 year olds ask me, and Johnny's probably more referring to undergrads, of which I've also had that teaching undergrads, and recognizing that there might be a different way to answer that question depending on what student is asking. Who is that student? What age are they? Where are we at? What are we involved in talking about? You know, when I was teaching social studies methods to beginning elementary school teachers, I was potentially, somebody would say, but sounds like you're heavily indoctrinating. Well, hey, it's Busted Pencils. And Johnny, you know what's also great? Man, we coming up on a What a great show. Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out Minocqua Brewing. Other thing, too, to remember right after us, President Biden. Stay tuned to Civic Media. You can listen to President Biden, whether you're on the app. Listen to this all. Educators Amplified, thank you so much for busting pencils tonight.